The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you having difficulty in achieving your dreams and what you really want in life? Would some conversations filled with energy and wisdom come in handy just about now? Welcome to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. It's the little conversations that can bring about the biggest elements of change and empowerment. Take some time out right now to explore the power of these little conversations. Now, here is your host, Dan Deegan.
Well, welcome back. We hope you've had a fantastic week. And this week, like every other week, we've got an excellent lineup of guests. Our first guest is Libby Gill. After nearly 20 years in senior leadership roles in communications at media giants like Universal, Sony, and Turner Broadcasting, Libby is now CEO of executive coaching consulting firm Libby Gill & Company. Now, when we start getting into some of the clients that Libby has, I'll have to take a deep breath. A very sought-after international speaker, Libby was also the PR branding brain behind the launch of the Dr. Phil Show. Her clients include, are you ready? ABC, Disney, Avery, CA Technologies, Comcast, Eli Lilly, GoDaddy, Kellogg's, Nike, Microsoft, Oracle, PayPal, Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, Safeway, The Conference Board, Warner Brothers, Wells Fargo, and many more. Libby's a frequent guest and shares a lot of her success strategies on shows like on CNN, NPR, and The Today Show, and in Business Week, Time, and The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and so much more. Libby, thank you so much for being here. We are just, we've got a big half of the show here to talk about You Unstuck.
Oh, great, Dan. Delighted to be here.
So, Libby, I, as I sit here, I have your three books that you were so gracious to send me, Traveling Hopefully, You Unstuck, Capture the Mind Share, and The Market Share Will Follow. I'm looking at Libby Gill and Company's website. Just went through your a very, very brief bio about some of the companies you've helped transition into doing greater things. Before all this started and before being world-renowned, what types of little conversations did you have about what you were truly capable of?
Well, you know, there are the positive and there are the negative little conversations that we all have. But for me, I got to a point in the workplace that I felt like I'd worked really hard to get where I didn't want to be. And I had just chosen a road and stuck to it. So the conversations were sort of along the lines of, on the negative side or on the challenging side, were, gee, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? Is this the highest and best purpose of me? Is there something else out there? Am I missing the boat? It was those kinds of conversations. And some of us, and I had for a long time sort of rolled past those and ignored those little nagging voices in the head. And on the other side, I didn't discount what I did. I was very fortunate to have a great job, to work with terrific people. And so I thought, I knew what my skills were. I'm a good communicator. I was a good team leader. I was very good at developing my staff, which I loved dearly, bringing out the best in other people. So it was a balance of, you know, hearing both the negative voices as well as the positive. And finally, those negative voices become louder if we allow them to, you know, if we really tune in and listen. And that's, and I came to that point of, okay, I got to hear this. I've got a choice here. I can either go try something new. And I was in my late 40s when I thought, okay, it's time. I'm going to venture out on my own now. And it was a time a lot of people think, you know, I've got to start slowing down. And for me, that's when the voices started raging. And those little conversations were, go try something new. Get out there. See what the world has to offer you. See what you can bring to other people. And so it was those conversations. And just what you're all about, Dan, is getting people to tune in and listen.
Now, when you're tuning in and listening to the little conversations before where you're at right now, what's the major difference between those conversations you tuned into and the ones you tune into now?
Well, I've lost a lot of those, the sort of the insecurity and the when we really identify what we're excited about, what we're passionate about, that deep-seated desire, that's when the negative voices come in. If we didn't care deeply about whatever it is, starting a business, getting a new job, volunteering for the big project, you know, those kinds of things that put us out there, that give us the butterflies in the stomach, if we don't care deeply, those voices don't come. You know, we don't get smacked with the, what I call the INR, the immediate negative response doesn't pop up to derail us. So now I hear those voices at times, but I've built that muscle where I can just get right past them, and I go right to the, but where's the greatest value? What can I bring to other people? What can I do better? What can I do bigger? So now it's really about what's the best use of my skills and my talent, and what do I need to develop? And you really, it's like the old-fashioned radio. You're on radio now, but the, you know, the old ones that had the big dials, you sort of dial down those fear voices and dial up those exciting voices of passion and challenge and value. So it's really where you make that choice of, okay, I'm going to tune out that negativity. Not that there's not some legitimacy to it. I'm not in denial. I always tell my clients that are in professional transition, I wish you could just follow your bliss all day long, but there is some work and some hard decisions to make. And no, you may not be able to be a professional ball player at 57 or a ballerina or an astronaut in your late 40s. There are lots of things that we can do with our dreams, but I'm also very practical and pragmatic. So it's really about tuning out the negativity that's false. The voices that say, oh, you don't want to do that. What will people think? What will people say? What will your family do? You're going to rock the boat. All of those things that are the untrue voices, and start tuning into the ones that get you to play a bigger, more exciting, more adventurous role in life.
Libby, as anyone that's really gone after any goal, I believe anyways, has hit a point where they're stuck, where they're just... They've almost hit this wall, and not that it might be fear holding them back, but they want something, but they just don't know that next step. They get stuck, they get thrown in ruts, they start procrastinating and all these other things. What's the number one reason, if you will, that you find with most of your clients as to why they're stuck?
Well, I think you just nailed it. I truly do think it's fear, and it's biological. I mean, think about it. Fear is our greatest gift in terms of having this early warning system that keeps us out of harm's way. But when we interpret that fear, and it's just that primitive response to danger or perceived danger, and often we take that biological response, and we know it now as our fight-or-flight syndrome of, you know, the adrenaline is rushing and the cortisol is being released and the hair is standing up on the back of your head and the nutrients and blood is pumping out to your extremities. It's all prepping you to either fight or get the heck out of the way of whatever danger you're facing. But how we often interpret that is, gee, I'm not qualified for that job, or, oh, no, I could never start my own business, or I can't get out of this bad relationship, or whatever it is. We interpret that fear as true and accurate, and it's not always. It is that carryover from that primitive response. And one thing I'll often tell people is you have to look at how your brain puts you on high alert, and you interpret the for good or for bad. But think about, Dan, if you're driving to your office and you go the same route every day, you know you got there and you got through, you stopped at the red lights, you don't remember them, you don't remember passing that drugstore or coffee shop on the corner that you see every day, because your brain has tuned that out. It's safe. But if you go on a completely different route, somewhere you've never been, suddenly your brain engages at this high level of, oh, you know, I got to stop at the stop sign. I got to watch out for cars. I've got to really look at my surroundings. That is your brain putting you on high alert, not necessarily to to danger, but to newness. And if you interpret that as, oh, I got to be careful, I could get killed out here on this freeway, and if you turn that off and say, hey, this is something new and different, and I'm going to try it. I'm going to take some big calculated risks. You it's the same thing. You can get past that fear. You can get past that immediate negative response to change and start getting yourself unstuck. But first, you've got to identify it. You've got to see it. You've got to see it for what it is and recognize that you don't have to let yourself off the hook. There are lots of ways that you can hold yourself accountable to identifying what's keeping you stuck, and lots of it comes in the guise of excuses. We are human beings, are world-class excuse makers. And my clients, and when I speak to corporate functions, people are always surprised when I say, guess what? Most of the excuses are true. You may not have enough time. You probably don't have enough money. You may not have the proper training. So what? You know, identify what the excuses are and decide if they're true limitations or if they can be overcome, if you can surmount those obstacles.
Now, when you said in how the individuals interpret their fear, I mean, interpretation is individualized. It's based on some lenses. Is there some work that we could do to start changing? So if you could, can you share with the audience some ways they can start changing that lens or changing how they interpret what their limitations are?
Well, and I work with a lot of people on this. It always comes up in my executive coaching work because it's all about building the risk-taking muscle. So I will ask people often, you know, what do you think is holding you back? And for example, I worked with a web designer who she did a lot of copy and content writing, and she felt like she was limiting herself because she edited herself so much in her head. She stopped her ideas before they got a chance to even land. She wouldn't even pursue anything unless it was tried and true. Now, if you're a creative person, that's sort of the kiss of death. And if you're in a position where you need to be innovating and thinking, and I think everybody does, need to be strategizing. So I will send people out to try what I call the little risks, which is not unlike your little conversations. And this person who was so sure, she was so afraid of making a mistake, I said, you know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go sign up for a comedy improv class and get out there. There's no harm. If you fall flat on your face, who cares? You know, 14 people in your comedy class are going to know, and that doesn't really make any difference in the big scheme of things. And this person went out, signed for a class, thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be the most difficult thing I've ever done. And once she got past that initial fear of, okay, I didn't fall apart, I didn't die on the spot, nobody laughed at me, at least not unless something was funny, she found that it was exhilarating. It was exhilarating to both conquer that fear and do it, and then the exercise itself of going to that weekly improv thing was such a hoot for her once she discovered, wow, there's this whole other realm of life I never knew about. I can do this thing. And then she found it coming directly back into her work. I'm going to be a risk taker. I'm going to have bigger ideas. I'm not going to censor myself before I give life to this new idea. And so I'm forever looking at things. And the best way to look at it is, gee, what really scares you? And how might you overcome that? And people will say, well, you know, I always thought about doing whatever. It's taking a dance class, volunteering for a nonprofit, whatever it is, looking for a new job, telling people what I really want in life. And once people can overcome that and they find out, wow, I didn't get smacked down by the universe or by the person on the other side of the table. In fact, I was embraced for my willingness to self-disclose, to share, to be honest, to be authentic. They start building you. We all start building that confidence muscle. We start seeing, gee, I can do more than I thought I could. And as confidence grows, we go from that baby step to that walking step to that running to that leaping, and our confidence grows as our competence grows at all these things. Now, my web designer, will she be a comedy performer? No. But she found out I can take some risks that I thought were completely outside the realm of possibility for me. What else might I be able to do? And it turns this light on. That's why the cover of You Unstuck, which I love, and my publishers won a design award for that cover. It's butterflies in a jar and one flying out. And it is that idea of there's a level of freedom and creativity that comes in when we say, maybe I can do that thing I always that I never thought I could do. I can't tell you, Dan, how many people I've sent to go sing in their church choirs, to start a garage band, to join a running club. All of these risks that are seemingly unrelated to the big thing, and often for me, because of the work I do, it's a professional goal or achievement that they're looking for. They build that muscle and it grows over time. And they don't have to be huge and monumental. You don't have to go from having your entry-level job to saying, I want to be the CEO, or I want to, start up a technology company. It's one risk in front of another, just like it's one foot in front of another, that gets you to that goal. Some people, they're ready to leap. I was offered a huge job in the corporate world just as I was thinking, okay, it's time to do something else. And I think the universe intervenes on our behalf sometimes. And once I was offered this big job with a new part, I was working at Universal Television, I was offered another job with a new division of the company. And it was already in my head to try something new. And this was a tough, that's when that monkey wrench is thrown in. The smart thing would have been to take the bigger job, take the bigger paycheck, bigger assignments. And I just thought, I'm ready to start all over. I'm going to just leap. And it was that I was ever, forever reminded of that proverb, when you leap, the net appears. And it was, I felt like I was jumping off a 55-story building and just hoping there was a net down there somewhere. And it was the best decision I ever made. So I don't recommend that people do it without calculating the risks. Look at it. You're not going to bet the farm. You're not going to bet your family's savings, your kids' college plan necessarily. Some people do, because they feel like they're ready to do that. And for some of us, it's those smaller risks that get us to the bigger risks.
Right after the break, Libby, I'd love to dive into limiting assumptions and their in essence, their tentacles of getting us stuck. We're just going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come right back with Libby Gill.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus drug discount card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies, but 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Everyone is eligible for RX Savings Plus. There's no age or income restrictions and no paperwork. Simply print a card and start saving on your prescriptions. Start saving today. Enroll and print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Welcome to another quick insight on how you can change your life by learning how to see just two choices everywhere you go. Sponsored by JustTwoChoices.com. Have you ever been standing in a line at a grocery store, motor vehicle department, post office, or bank, and had a person come up to you and ask, "Are you in line?" Of course, you'll either reply with yes or no. Just two choices. So now you can use something as simple as standing in line as a reminder of how just two choices are everywhere. Like, live your dreams or live something else.
Boxing, like networking, is a contact sport. The more contacts and connections you make, the greater your success. If you're a business owner, sales agent, or job seeker, it's all about the connection. If you want help in your corner, pick up a copy of Knockout Networking today by speaker and author Michael Goldberg. Michael's book will absolutely help you generate more prospects, more referrals, and more business, or more job leads, or even more social connections. Knockout Networking will help you feel more confident speaking with people you don't know. Determine who your target market is, the best way to introduce yourself at business meetings, how to deliver an elevator pitch, follow-up, and how to generate more leads. Social media isn't always the answer, but Knockout Networking is. Visit knockoutnetworking.com to pick up your copy of Michael Goldberg's book, Knockout Networking. Remember, nothing happens in business without a connection, so make the right connections. Visit knockoutnetworking.com today.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're a part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
are tuned in to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. To reach the show, please call into 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to dan@littleconversationstoday.com. Now, let's get back to the show.
Well, welcome back. Before the break, just in case you're just joining us, today we've got Libby Gill. And if you missed the part of the show just before the break, when this show's over and it gets uploaded, you're going to have to listen to it. If you want to get a hold of Libby, you can reach her at libbygill.com. Go over and click that Contact Us button, and you can get all of Libby's information there. Send her an email. Send her some questions. If you were listening and you had some questions about the first part of the show, Libby, welcome back. When we're diving into getting unstuck and, you know, challenging these fears and these limitations, one thing that seems to always come up is limiting assumptions. You know, we assume that we have these certain limitations on ourselves. And I mean, let's face reality, other limitations are ones that, yes, we can't necessarily discard, if you will. And you use the example, you know, if you're, I believe it was if you're 58 years old, you know, you're not going to be the next, 2 minute mile runner, possibly. Right. So understandably so, but when we look at limiting assumptions, when we're talking in the context of getting stuck, what are they and how can we get unstuck from them?
The limiting assumptions are really those little conversations, the things that we believe to be true and that we let go unchallenged and unchecked. And I hear people say them all the time. Oh, gee, no, my sister was the smart one, meaning I'm the dumb one. Now, is that really true? I'll have people who are so qualified. I worked with a very, very successful entrepreneur who owned a chain of stores who felt like, and she never graduated from college. Her mental conversation, her limiting assumption was, well, I'm not a college grad. I said, so what? You've made a ton of money. You've made huge contributions to your community. You own all these stores. You employ all these people. Do you really think you're missing anything? And she had to say, well, gosh, maybe not. And by the way, if you wanted to go graduate from college, go back. She's in her 50s. You can go back and do it now. So it's those things that we come to believe, and they usually come from a place. Sometimes it's a parental voice. Sometimes it's an ex-romantic partner. I hope ex. Sometimes these are the limiters. I call those folks the limiters that plant or feed or reconfirm those limitations that we have. And then there are other people in our life, and I always think you should limit the limiters. If they're people that you can't necessarily get rid of, like, you know, your boss, your parents, then you should learn to manage that and filter out what you don't believe to be true about yourself. If I grew up as a kid thinking I was the picky one, and I just decided, you know, I'm not so picky, but I'm very discerning. I've got great taste. I know quality when I see it. So it's up to you to reframe how you see that. And then there are other people on the other side of that who are the liberators, the people who just feel like they were put on the planet to feed our dreams. And I think that's very important that you have those people in your life as well. And by the way, it's not always the people closest to you. Your spouse doesn't have to be the one to say 24/7, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Your spouse has other qualities. It may not be your boss, but you've got to find those people, whether it's an accountability partner, a group that you're in, a best friend, somebody that really is there to feed that best and highest part of you. So it's putting a cap on those limiters and the limiting language that they reinforce or place on you, and finding the people that really get us to help, get us inspired, help us feed our dreams. I hear that from people because I'm sort of relentlessly passionate about, no, you can try this, you can try that. What's stopping you? And at the same time, very practical. So I like to think that I'm one of those liberators for people. Let's get practical and real, but at the same time, don't restrict and limit yourself from the possibilities that really do exist. And for all of us, they're multiple. There are lots of things that we can do with our cluster of skills and talents and dreams and strengths. So look to those and put a lid on those limiting assumptions that simply aren't true.
So Libby, let's help the audience liberate themselves. Let's empower them to empower themselves. We touched base on a few steps throughout this portion of the radio show. But if you could share three or four steps and just kind of bring it all together, encapsulate it all, how we can start today to start to get unstuck and, you know, in essence, to start moving towards our dreams, burning desires, our goals, ambitions tomorrow.
Well, I have a very simple matrix or mantra that I have shared literally with thousands of people, and it's in detail in my book, You Unstuck, but it is simply, first of all, clarify the vision. What do you want for your life? And just to bring it down to earth and frame it, where do you want to be, Dan, in a year? And don't answer this, Dan, because I know you can, and it's a big vision. But for everybody listening, where do you want to be in a year? What is that personal and professional vision? Is it measurable? Is it meaningful to you? Do you care deeply about it? That's the first step, is what is that vision for your life? You got to have it. You got to frame it. Second, how do you simplify the path to get there? Because we as human beings, we like to throw all the clutter and all the obstacles and the junk in the way. How do you get everything that's not serving you out of the way? Excuses, limiting people, time wasters, everything out of the way. And then bring in the resources that you need, whether it's listening to Little Conversations every day, whether it's reading books, whether it's signing up for my newsletter, which I hope everybody will do. It's how do you simplify your path to get there? And finally, how are you going to execute that plan to reaching vision with steps for accountability? Put some numbers, put some deadlines, one of the resources I have that I use every year and I go back to all the time is on my resources section under coaching. And it's a year plan, and it's just fill in the blanks. Here's where I want to be in a year, and now here it is broken into quarters. So you can really say, well, you know, I've got this new business I'm starting, but at some point I want to make a documentary film. Well, if that's going to completely derail you now, but you don't want to forget about it, slot it into Q4. That's when you're going to start thinking about it, and you're going to do it in 2016. And I only plan about 18 months out because, frankly, you know, the world sort of colludes to give you other plans. But I'm a relentless vision builder. I've got to have something that I'm feeding, that I'm looking at. And I usually have one big overarching vision for my professional life and one for my personal life. And I'll look back and think at one point it was, I'm not having enough fun. I'm not having enough adventure. There's not enough travel, international travel in my life. And, you know, I sort of slotted that in and kind of forgot about it. And lo and behold, it had a way of happening. I found myself back to that vision because I'd already planted that seed. So I really encourage people, clarify the vision, simplify the path, and then start executing the plan. Little daily actions lead up to that big vision.
Libby, we've got just about a minute left on this segment of the show. Before we go, it's imperative that you share with everybody how they can get a hold of you. We mentioned LibbyGill.com at the top of the break, but how they can get a hold of you and how they can get a hold of you.
People are always shocked. I take their phone calls. I'll take their emails, not always in the same day that they reach out to me, but they can email me at libby@libbygill.com. I'd love it if they sign up for my newsletter. I do, like you, I try to give value to my community. I do all sorts of free courses and classes and downloads. So just go to libbygill.com and right on my homepage, sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all sorts of things about creating your personal brand just for signing up. So that's the best way.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Libby. We really, really appreciate you being here. Everybody, make sure you get out and connect with Libby on her website. We're going to take a quick station break, and we're going to come back with Jane Goldner from the Goldner Group. Libby, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Hi, I'm Joe Swedish, CEO of WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes and all they do to reduce the rate of premature birth in the United States. Though premature births have recently declined, still 500,000 babies are born too soon each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs that help moms and their babies live healthier lives. Please visit marchofdimes.com and join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Welcome to another Choice Thought Idea, sponsored by Just2Choices.com. For many, this time of year is tax season. And with tax season comes the usual variety of comments about what a pain it is. How about trying something new this tax season? What about using your Just2Choices to say how smoothly and easily it can be done to get your taxes done on time? Of course, the other choice is to say what a pain it is and groan about it. Sounds crazy, but whichever attitude you choose most frequently will determine how it goes.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
You are tuned in to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. To reach the show, please call into 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to dan@littleconversationstoday.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. And before the break, if you're just joining us, we had Libby Gill. And Libby was discussing how we can get unstuck, how we can, when we're on our way to our goal and we hit this seeming wall, how could we get past it? Well, our second guest is Jane Goldner. And Jane and I are going to discuss some amazing strategies to really, you know, have get your all, how we can get your all, defining our core, and why 80% is good enough. Jane Goldner is a sought-after national speaker, author, and role integration coach. Her over 30 years in business, both internal and external, to companies as well as in her family life, she's learned the secrets of integrating multiple roles, and how many of us out there have multiple roles, and great leadership for women, and just when we get into Jane's books, they do apply to men as well. Let's just make that very clear. at which she brings to companies and her coaching clients. Jane's been in several publications, New York Times, CNN Money, Air Trans Magazine, Career Builder, among many others. Her newest book, Women Driven to Success, You Can Have It, and then the It's crossed out, and You're All. And it's about a journey toward defining your all. Jane, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Well, Jane, let's get right into it. Before your company, before the Golder Group, before your books, what types of little conversations went on in your head when you had these big dreams, ideas, and desires?
It was a time in my life when I was really reevaluating my priorities. And I talk to my coaching clients all the time about doing that at various points in their lives. And that was the time for me. I had been working for a Fortune 60 company. My division was sold. And I was offered this wonderful career path into corporate. And at the time, I had two young sons. And I really started asking myself about priorities, and the thing that kept coming up for me in my head was, I have these two young sons, they're only going to be young once, I want more flexibility. And I knew that if I went into corporate, I wouldn't have the time to participate in school activities, to go to their sporting activities. So I had to figure out how I could use my skills and abilities that I learned in the corporate arena for so many years to become a consultant. And what I realized was I would be doing the same thing just with different companies, but I would be more in control of my time. I could decide between yes and no. And at the same time, I had to recognize that I was making some choices that had associated trade-offs.
And as most consultants know, you don't have a steady paycheck. And so one of the trade-offs was that I would sort of be on this roller coaster for a while in terms of a paycheck, but it was worth it to me. And so the conversation that I had was getting clear about my priorities and the associated choices and trade-offs.
What is the major difference between those little conversations you had then when you were stepping out, to start the Goldner Group, and the little conversations you have now when you, say, reach for something bigger and better for your clients?
Well, personally, it was another time for me to reevaluate my priorities and ask those questions again because my sons are grown, and I didn't need that same type of flexibility. And I needed to look at, where do I want to put my energy? What was really important to me? It was a very different conversation about what was important to me at this point. Now it was, I could put more energy into work, but yet I also have a spouse. I wanted to play and travel. And I have a 91-year-old mother-in-law that I wanted to spend time with. And so it was, how do I live my life around those priorities? And so when I talk to my coaching clients and when I do keynote presentations, I talk about the need to forget the term it all, because there is no universal it all. And there is no such thing as work-life balance. It's about as achievable as world peace. You can have your all, just not every day. And so it's about figuring out your own priorities and what's important to you, and then figuring out where you want to put your energy and time. And that's the major conversation that each person, and you're right, it applies to more than just women, particularly young Gen X men and millennial men have been getting in touch with me saying, this applies to me too. I've got more to life than just work. So it's having that conversation with yourself about what your real priorities are and putting your time and energy there, and stop acquiescing to everybody else's demands or societal expectations.
All right. So, Jane, can you share some ideas and strategies to help us achieve our all?
The very, very first thing is, step one is forget being everything to everybody. And women particularly tie on their red superwoman cape and try and do that. And at the end of the day, they're using all their time and energy to acquiesce to other people's demands, not their own. And I can't think of anything worse than at the end of my life saying, did I live the right life? Instead of living it for everybody else. And so it's forgetting being everything to everybody, step one. And then it's really taking a hard look at your own core. And the core is inclusive, in fact, of the vision that Libby just talked about. So the core is made up of three components. One is your mission. What is your purpose? Not just in your work life, but in your total life. Why are you here? So people will ask me for an example, and so my mission is to help others learn as I continue my own learning. And you can apply that to my family. If you ask my husband and two sons, they'll tell you that's who I am, or to my corporate or individual coaching clients. So I'm very consistent in why I believe I'm here. And then the next piece, and Libby talked about the vision, and that is, if you were working your mission on all cylinders and you were at your very best, what would you want people to say about you? What would make you happy about living that life? And for me, it's that people would say that I'm a guide that led them down unforged paths, always showing them how much they can be. And that includes myself as well, living my potential. So once you've got your mission and vision, the third piece of your core are your key values. Now, we all love motherhood and apple pie, but I'm talking about the few key values that you wouldn't compromise for $1 million or if you were backed against the wall. And for me, it's family, and that's what helped me make my career decision to leave a corporate job to consult. It's integrity, and there are times when I have had clients that asked me to operate in the gray area, and I've had to fire them because I didn't feel very ethical about what they were asking me to do. And the third is health. And my mantra around health is, I need to choose to be healthy, or I'm going to have to choose to be sick. And being sick actually is not a choice. You have to be sick. So I would rather choose to be healthy and exercise and eat right than be in a situation where I've got to be sick. So that's the first step and the critical step in defining your all, is knowing who you are at your core. Because then you're really standing in your own power to make decisions for you between yes and no.
Interesting. Now, when one goes out to start defining their core, what would you suggest? Just grab a piece of paper and start writing down some real key things that they value in themselves. And is there any specific number? Like, you just went over three of your key core values. Mm-hmm. What if they had 10?
Personally, I think 10's too many, but let me start with your first question. Mm-hmm. Where I start with my clients is to get them to define what well-being means to them. And well-being is a construct that Martin Seligman out of the University of Pennsylvania defined well in his book Flourish. And it's beyond happiness. You know, we hear all the time, well, what makes you happy? And that's a part of it. So he really calls that positive emotion. So what are those things that give you fleeting moments of happiness? So it might be you hear some kind of music that you love and it makes you smile, or you see an old friend you haven't seen in a while. Those are kind of our fleeting moments of happiness. Or you go on a trip somewhere and for a period of time you're just all smiles because you're seeing a part of the world you've never seen. So that's one piece of it. So define those things. The second is engagement. What really engages you? It's sort of what the athletes call when they're in the zone. Time mm-hmm. is irrelevant. They're very into what they're doing. They're at their peak. So define those moments, the times when you're really engaged. What were you doing? What job did you have? What activity were you so engaged in? The third piece of well-being is meaning, and that is, what do we do beyond ourselves that gives our life meaning beyond us? And actually, research shows that that's the thing that really provides the most happiness for us. It could be volunteering in the community. It could be attending religious services with other people. It's getting outside ourselves. So what are those things that you do that really provide meaning for you? The next piece is positive relationships. And I think, again, Libby alluded to this around people who really feed you, who are really positive. Those are the kinds of people that help create your well-being. They reinforce who you are. They accept you for who you are. They're the kind of person that if you had a problem, you could call at 4 a.m. and they wouldn't hang up on you. And the last piece of well-being is accomplishment. What are those things that give you a sense of achievement? Now, they don't always make you happy. Maybe it was taking a course in college that you really didn't want to, but you got that A and you felt a sense of accomplishment. But what are those things that you did well, could be acquire a new skill, that really gave you a sense of accomplishment? So when you put all those pieces together, you begin to see your core, what really makes you you. And what I'll do is I'll ask my coaching clients to put a collage together of those things. And some do it digitally, and some do it cutting out magazines, and some do it with words. But it that gives them a visual of who they are and where they would want to put their time and their energy, what feeds them. So that's a great place to start. And in terms of the values, I think 10's way too many. I think 3 to 5 is good because then it gives you a few things that are really integral to who you are and helps you make those critical decisions. Doesn't mean that you don't value other things. It just means when push comes to shove, those are the ones that you would make your most critical decisions around.
When we get back from the break, Jane, there's a theme throughout your entire book, You Can Have Your All, that I think is going to turn on some very big lights for a lot of listeners. We'll be right back with Jane Goldner.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Welcome to another episode of Choice Moments, sponsored by Just2Choices.com. In fourth and fifth grade, a young Eileen Collins loved math, science, and space. But during middle school and high school, her love for so many different subjects led her away from her dream of space. Literally, as she was handed her high school diploma on graduation day, Eileen used her Just2Choices in that moment to choose to be an astronaut. And 25 years later, she commanded the Space Shuttle Columbia. How do you use your Just2Choices moments?
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. To reach the show, please call into 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to dan@littleconversationstoday.com. Now, let's get back to the show.
Well, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, the big question is, where have you been for the last 49 minutes? We've got Jane Goldner with us. You can reach Jane at thegoldnergroup.com. That's the, and then G-O-L-D-N-E-R, group.com. Just before the break, Jane was discussing how we can achieve our all. How can we define our core to really get our all in life? And Jane, there's a massive from every individual you have in the book that shares their stories about defining their all and getting their all, as well as the majority of time in the book when you're actually doing the writing. It's talking about the 80-20 rule, I'm going to call it, and why 80% is good enough. Now, I'm going to leave, from my part, that as a cliffhanger for you to elaborate on. Why is 80% good enough, Jane?
You know, when I was interviewing the dozen wonderful women that I interviewed for my book, and they're each telling their stories, it was actually a VP of legal in a Fortune 100 company who talked about the 80-20 rule, and I figured if a lawyer can say 80% is good enough, I'm on board. So, but basically what she said, and yes, it does run throughout the book because I'm a great believer in it. When something is right and 80% good, go with it. Because the next 20% of time that you spend making it more perfect and more perfect is a waste of time. You could be doing something better with your time than that. And we women particularly tend to be perfectionists. We want to do everything perfectly, and everything doesn't need to be done perfectly. And that's been validated over and over again as I've done presentations to women in companies. And I actually had one woman in a large professional services firm say that her boss keeps telling her, don't spend so much time making things better. When you've got it, go with it. So we just want to make things more perfect and more perfect, and it's not a good use of our time, and time is our scarcest resource. So we need to begin to recognize when things are right and good enough and let them go.
You know, when I read that part of your book, the first thing that popped into my brain was an operating system or a program. You know, anyone listening to this that actually has a computer, has a smartphone, a tablet, whatever you, any kind of digital device, there's always updates. But they get it to a point where it's working, where it's at that, I'm going to go quote unquote, and if you had a video on me, I'd get the little quotation marks up beside my head, 80% effective, and go with it. And, you know, it was kind of that, you're right. The tweaking can come as you go, but that time delay or that time wasted where you discuss in your book about the 20% was a real eye-opener, because I believe everyone listening has done it. They've done it. They've been there, and they're probably going, oh, my gosh.
Exactly. I was just talking with an entrepreneur yesterday who's starting a business, and we've been talking over time about the business plan and the spreadsheet about startup capital, and I finally had to say, stop dotting your I's and crossing your T's. You've got enough of a plan. Go out and start and do it so you don't miss your window of opportunity. Because everything now is fast to market. And
yes,
you can spend all the time in the world perfecting your plan, and then either someone else is doing it or the window has closed.
What would be your first suggestion, if you will, or first idea that you can share with anyone that's sitting there going, my gosh, that's me. That is exactly me. What do I do, Jane?
Well, first you have to recognize that you have a perfectionist syndrome. And I'll tell you, I began to recognize that when someone sent me a Lucy, the Charlie Brown cartoon, and it was Lucy sitting at her desk doing something, and each bubble and each square was, I'm going to make this more perfect and more perfect and more perfect, and it goes on and on and on until finally she goes, exhausted, she goes, that's enough. And so I recognized it in myself, and I kept having to have that little conversation in my head when I was doing things, saying, all right, this is good enough, let it go, and move on to the next thing. Perfectionism is a hard syndrome to break. I mean, I've had it since I was young, and you just have to work at continuing to have that little honest conversation in your head to say, that's enough, I need to move on. And see that when you do that, there are no bad repercussions.
What would you suggest to, because you know, I know from just experience, you know, I've got this program or I've got this idea and I'm giving birth to it, I'm creating it, and I use the 80% rule and I put it out there and something inside me goes, oh, you shouldn't have put it out there yet, it wasn't ready. You know, that negative conversation that says, no, don't do that. What would be the first thing that you would say to somebody that comes to you and says, Jane, I just did this and I can't believe it. I just pushed the go button and it's gone.
And I would say to that person, so you push the go button and it's out there. And what kind of feedback are you getting? How's it doing? And I would bet 9 out of 10 times it's fine and you're getting positive feedback and it's working. And the other piece of advice would be, so if it's not exactly where you want it to be, don't you have time to update it, to improve it? Maybe it's version 1.0.
I was just going to say that.
Version 2.0.
Yeah, because we all know we've got those versions of software coming our way, that's for sure.
And we do.
Yes, absolutely. Jane, just before we go, we definitely would like to ensure that you share all of your contact details with everybody and how they can get a hold of you.
Well, as you mentioned, my website is www.thegoldnergroup.com. And on my site, you can download a free chapter from my new book. You can hear an interview about women standing in their power. There are lots of tools and resources, including downloading the workbook and my favorite books and favorite quotes. So there's lots on my site that people can access. They can email me at jane@thegoldnergroup.com, and I am very responsive. Those two ways for sure. And
beautiful.
If you still like to use the telephone, my office number is 404-459-2860.
Thank you so much for being here, Jane. Thank you again for listening and tuning in to Your Conversation Counts with Little Conversations today. I'm your host, Dan Deegan, and remember, whatever you think on the inside will manifest on the outside. Like us on Facebook, visit our website, www.littleconversationstoday.com, and we'll see you next week. The past is history, the future a mystery. The gift is now. That's why they call it the present. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us this week for Little Conversations Today. Please join Dan Deegan for another engaging conversation next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have a great weekend and a week of achieving your dreams.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.